Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
This is Bishop Michael Sheridan. Welcome to our program. Today we're going to be talking about a very important upcoming event for the men, the Catholic, the Christian men of the state of Colorado, and that is the second annual Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference, which will be held here in Colorado Springs on Saturday, the 20th of March. And we're joined today by two of the men who have been spending many long hours helping to plan for this event. So I welcome Rick Lenz and Gary Bayer. Thanks for joining us today. And maybe we'll start out with you, Rick, just to say a little bit about yourself. And how did you come to get involved in planning a Catholic men's conference?
Well, I've been involved in men's ministry for about 4 years now in brother-to-brother ministries helping Catholic men. And when we formed the first half-day conference back in 2007, Rich Cleveland asked me to be part of that team.
Now, Rich Cleveland is also he's the director of the Emmaus Ministries, correct?
Emmaus Journey, that's correct.
Emmaus Journey, sorry, yes.
That is correct. Right. And so from that beginning and being involved with the National Fellowship of Catholic Men, I've just kind of stayed on throughout the growth of the conference from two half-day conferences to now our second full-day conference encompassing men from all over the state of Colorado.
Even though it's being held here in Colorado Springs, we're urging as many men from the Archdiocese of Denver and from the Diocese of Pueblo that can attend to be with us.
That is correct.
Very good. Thanks, Rick. And also with us is Gary Bayer, also a member of the planning team. And Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement with this program.
Well, my involvement goes back to Detroit, Michigan. I'm actually a transplant from Michigan to Colorado Springs here. And my wife and our two children moved here back in 2008. But prior to that, in Detroit, I was involved in attending a number of the Catholic men's conferences that were actually hosted and sponsored by the Archdiocese of Detroit, and that was really for me my first involvement and sort of touch with the Catholic men's movement. I've been involved also, likewise, with the Emmaus Journey Ministry and Rich Cleveland for a number of years. And Rich, while I was still living in Detroit, had invited me to attend some national meetings of the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. And that was just a tremendous time. They were held in my hometown of Detroit, so that was wonderful. Didn't have to travel too far. But it was great just to see men coming together to really grow in their Christian faith. When we moved out here, then in 2008, it was right on the heels of that second half-day conference, Rick, that you were talking about. And so I was involved very quickly in sort of the final planning stages of that conference, and then was asked to serve on the planning team for the first annual Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference last year.
I recall that. I was there and wanted to very much support it. I think if I recall correctly, we had over 800 men attending and pretty well filled by our largest church here in the Diocese of Colorado Springs. And I think we knew from that moment on that from here on out, we better find a larger venue because it was received so well. The comments that I heard from men who attended last year were so positive and uplifting. We immediately began to look for something bigger. So this year's event is going to be at the Pikes Peak Center. Not a Catholic venue, but we'll make it a Catholic venue by being there. And I think, what is the capacity for that, Rick? Do you remember?
About 2,000, 2,200.
2,000.
So we're hoping to get 1,500 to 2,000 men to fill that place.
Well, I hope we do. And if the men who attended last year bring one friend, we'll do it.
Yes, we will.
We'll come close to do it anyway. You know, I recall, it's been many years, but I recall first hearing about so-called men's Christian movements. Remember the Promise Keepers? I think they beat us, right? I mean, in terms of Catholic men's conferences, but I guess this is sort of growing out of that kind of.
Well, Catholic men's conferences have been going on back east in Cincinnati and in Pittsburgh and other places since the early 1980s. So they actually predate Promise Keepers about 10 years. But I was living overseas, and I come to Colorado Springs, and I meet a lot of Catholic guys, and they're talking about this Promise Keepers up in Boulder. And so starting in 1994, I went for 5 or 6 years with close to 200, 250 Catholic men that I was aware of out of 75,000 when they started doing them at Mile High Stadium. Were attending those, and priests were among us. And we would go, and then we came back and would group together in small groups.
Yeah. Gary, you've been involved at all with Promise Keepers?
Yeah, I certainly was. I was likewise in Detroit at that time, and Promise Keepers came and filled the Silver Dome Stadium with thousands upon thousands of men, and among those, many Catholics, you know, as well. The one thing I heard from men, from Catholic men in particular, was just how wonderful the Promise Keepers movement was and these large events. But for them, in the context of their Catholic spirituality, it was also lacking something.
Yes.
And we, you know, we can discuss that, you know, certainly. But I think it emphasized for me the need for a distinctly Catholic men's conference that would allow us to really fully embrace our spirituality, bringing into the course of the day the sacrament of reconciliation, the Eucharist, and we'll talk more about that as our segments go on. But it really allowed for us to have a conference that really, as men, we could experience the fullness of our Catholicity.
And I think that's an important distinction to make. Everything that I heard about Promise Keepers or similar kinds of men's events, which were essentially, I guess, grew out of the evangelical movement or Protestantism in general, were good, were positive. But as you said, Gary, there was something that was lacking, and it was that distinctive Catholic dimension, and in particular of the sacraments. And we wanted that to be very much a part of what we do as Catholic men. So thanks. Why don't you let our listeners at least know in brief who are the speakers that are going to be or the presenters at this year's Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference? We could talk perhaps a little more at length later in the program about some of them specifically, but give us a quick run through of who our men can be expecting to hear.
Well, one will be yourself, Bishop. You'll be leading off the conference and blessing the priest later in celebration of St. John Vianney.
I think my happy task is to introduce the sacrament of penance of reconciliation and urge the men to take advantage of that. We've asked priests, as many priests as possible, from throughout our Diocese of Colorado Springs, as well as the Archdiocese of Denver and the Diocese of Pueblo, for priests to come for a couple of hours to make themselves available for the sacrament of reconciliation. And, of course, there couldn't be better timing. The conference is going to be during Lent, and so what a wonderful preparation also for Easter. So, yeah, I'm happy to be doing that. I know who's going to be there, but I'm going to let you talk about him.
Well, another will be the new Bishop of Pueblo, Fernando Isern, and he will hold a breakout session for our Hispanic attendees in the afternoon to speak to them in Spanish and to encourage them in their native language. And I think that's a great blessing.
Yeah, and Bishop, I think he says Isern.
Isern?
I called him Isern until I heard him say it for the first time.
Okay.
Had the opportunity to spend a few hours with him just last week, when we had a provincial meeting of the bishops of this area, and what a fine man he seems to be, and he'll be a tremendous addition, I know, to our men's conference. And as long as you're mentioning bishops, let's go up north and tell them about Archbishop Chaput.
Well, Archbishop Chaput will be here to lead us through the Mass, to concelebrate the Mass as the primary presider, and to just give the men encouragement by saying, you know, I'm behind this also. And that's for us men, to have our bishops here and fully involved is very, very important, and says that we have your backing and the backings of the Archbishop and Bishop.
I think it also just simply underscores, Rick, the fact that this is a statewide event. It's being hosted here in Colorado Springs, and much of the organizing and the organizational team is based here. But we are seeking to bring men from all, literally from every corner of the state of Colorado here for this event.
And even our first one last year, I think we billed it as a statewide event, but I was the only bishop who was able to attend. So I'm hopeful if I could be there and 800 would show up, the other two, that we might be busting out the walls, I hope. Because you're right, I think the presence of the bishop is a great encouragement for the men to attend. Gary, who are some of the other speakers?
Well, another one of the speakers leading off in the morning will be Dennis Murphy. And Dennis is local here to Colorado Springs and is a licensed professional counselor. He operates a private practice right here in the Springs and is very much involved in conducting seminars throughout both in the public and the private sector. And he is going to be leading off with a topic entitled God Created Them Male and Female, and then laughed hysterically. So what a way to start off the morning. But I think it's going to be tremendous. And I was just thinking about the whole way that we've sort of constructed this, the conference. And the first, we've not yet talked really about the theme, you know, of the conference, but the first part of the conference in the morning is really focusing on In Defense of Life. And what better way to begin that than talking about where life comes from? And so having the opportunity to reflect upon how God created us, both, you know, as men, you know, and women, and those distinctive roles.
I know Dennis, but he still teaches at St. Mary's High School, doesn't he?
He does, yes.
Yeah. I've sat in on some of his theology classes. He's animated. I think he'll be a very engaging speaker, and I guess I'm anxious to hear how he's going to play that title out. Say the title again of his talk.
It's entitled, God Created Them Male and Female, Then Laughed Hysterically. So it'll be a great way to start the morning off. We'll be awake after that for certain, and
well, that is for sure.
I think you're right. You know, you mentioned Gary, that we really didn't, and that's my fault. I apologize. There is a theme that we've given to these conferences now for the first year and the second year, and the theme of this year's conference is?
Seize Life.
Seize Life. Where did that come from?
Well, it really comes from right out of the scriptures. It comes from John 10:10, and where Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
And that gives us great possibilities. As you said, we're going to talk about the gift of our human life, how important that is, and I suspect helping us to realize again the many threats that exist to the dignity and the very existence sometimes of human beings. But the spiritual life, of course, that Jesus came to bring us the fullness of life, and what that's going to mean, we pray and we hope life forever with God, with the Trinity in heaven. Well, great. We're going to take a little break here. We'll come back. We'll feature some of these other speakers as we go through the show and learn more about what's going to be coming up at this Colorado Catholic Men's Conference. We'll be back in just a moment.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Welcome back. We're talking today with Gary Bayer and Rick Lenz about the upcoming second annual Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference that will take place on Saturday, March 20th at the Pikes Peak Center here in Colorado Springs. We heard about some of the speakers who'll be presenting on that day. We'll hear about more of the speakers as we go on. But I want to make sure that all of our listeners know how they can get more information about the conference and register for the conference. So let me give you a web address here, www.RockyMountainCatholicMen'sConference. Just run it all together like one word, .com. www.RockyMountainCatholicMen'sConference.com. You go to that website and you'll learn more about the conference and you will be able to register for the conference. By the way, any particular age limits? Are we inviting younger men too? Not just. Old men
like Rick,
like Gary.
Like Rick. Gary, you're young compared to me.
No, I remember last year, it looked like several fathers brought their teenage sons.
Last year, about 20% of the attendees were men under 21.
20%?
Yes.
Oh, great.
So, and they were, I think the youngest was about 10, and those two boys stayed very attentive through the whole conference, which surprised me. At their age, and we're hoping to attract more men in their 20s, especially college students. I think some of the guys that are part of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students Focus up at Boulder are going to be coming down.
Great.
And we're looking forward to having the younger men there, and that's why, as we'll talk a little bit about later, one of our speakers, Billy Moyer, is in his early 20s. He's 23 years old. And we'll be presenting a talk with his father.
So we want to encourage both single men and married men, younger men, older men, across the spectrum. So good.
That's correct. And men under 18 who register with their fathers or with an uncle or a brother, they can attend for free.
Great. Great. I want to take the opportunity now to read a brief comment, testimony, if you will, from one of last year's attendees who signed himself as Michael, and these were his thoughts about his participation in the conference last year. He wrote, "The Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference was a beautiful experience, one that I won't soon forget. One unexpected blessing I received was a newfound appreciation of Saint Joseph. Honestly, I never prayed much to the earthly Father of our Lord. However, that has now changed. I now see that he is indeed a model for all men. I'm so excited to have found a new friend in Christ. What a blessing the conference was, from the planning to the speakers to the feedback that was received. The Holy Spirit truly laid his hands upon the event." Pretty positive comment, I would say. And I'm guessing it's somewhat representative of many, many of the comments and testimonies that you received. I have a feeling Michael's going to be back again this year to the conference. Let me open up a little discussion of the very idea of a men's conference. Very often as Catholics, you know, we believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, but now all of a sudden we're going to separate the men and the women. But that's based upon a sense that there is a distinctive, shall we say, well, first of all, we could say male personality, masculine makeup, which is going to affect and fit into a certain kind of spirituality for men. So what we're doing here is not a way of excluding women. In fact, there are also women's spirituality movements like this. I think of Endow, for example, that was started right here, and I think in the state of Colorado, up in Denver. So we're not so much excluding women as we are trying to appeal to the personality, to the spirituality, to the various situations in life that men find themselves in. So I'd like to hear the two of you talk a little bit about that. This must have come up a lot in your planning of the conference.
Well, it's interesting. It's not only come up in the planning, but I also just hear from others that question of why a men's conference? You know, why not a couples conference, or, you know, bringing together young men and women together? And I think you're right on, Bishop, in the sense that this conference appeals to men's spirituality. And I think there are distinctives between how men and women experience their faith, their relationship with Christ. I've heard it said, and I don't know that there's any scientific basis, you know, for this that I know, but I've heard it said that women typically experience their faith on a much more emotional level, and whereas men tend to experience their faith much more intellectually. Men have to be able to sort of grapple with it in their minds and to be able to intellectualize it.
And excuse me, that doesn't mean men are smarter than women when you say intellectually. It's sort of that part of their psyche, of their
brain.
Where they deal with things. And so more the brain than the heart or the emotions. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please continue.
Well, no, I think that's very, very true. And so, you know, as we've even put together a men's conference, we want to look at speakers who are going to speak to men in a way that directly addresses their spiritual needs and how they experience their faith, you know, with it. And so I think, you know, just even the fact that we're bringing Father Tad Pacholovic, is that?
Pacholchik, I think.
Pacholchik.
As far as I'm concerned, he's always Father Tad.
Father Tad. And I may stick with that. But the fact that Father Tad is coming, I think, speaks to this, and is going to be speaking again in the morning with respect to the beginning of life issues and in vitro fertilization and assisted reproductive technologies and human embryos, and so very much from the scientific perspective.
Helping us to appreciate really the broadest dimensions of human life.
And the value of life.
And the value of life. Exactly. We ought to say something mentioning Father Tad. Father Tad is with the National Catholic Bioethics Center, located now in Philadelphia. Father Tad actually has been to the Diocese of Colorado Springs here and given some talks, and looking forward to his coming back. So, Father Tad is, I mean, he has degrees in medicine as well as in theology, as bioethics, the whole thing.
Biochemistry, philosophy. I mean,
so he could put it all together. And I'm happy to say that Father Tad writes a monthly column on just this area of bioethics, of the dignity of human life. And we are happy to feature that in our Colorado Catholic Herald, our diocesan newspaper, each month. So just to fill people in on who Father Tad is. Rick, you've been involved with the men's movement, Catholic men's movement, for some time. What are some of the characteristics of the male that a conference like this in some way wants to speak to help form?
Well, part of it, I agree with Gary that we men first come to our faith intellectually, but as men want to grow deeper in their faith, they really do turn to it in their emotions. There's this old joke that men never want to get too close to one another. You know, they don't want to have this relationship, but the minute you get a group of men together, they start forming and bonding relationships. I've noticed that at conferences, at Bible study groups. And men want to be challenged. They want to leave a conference with some kind of challenge and some roadmap of the things that they can do to go deeper in their faith with Christ. And that's one of the things that, when we design this program, is to set that up so that they are challenged at the end as the day goes through. I know last year we were challenged to lay all our cards on the table and put all our chips out there and give of ourselves by Peter Herbick. And then later in the afternoon, we were challenged by St. Paul, who showed up to speak to us. And he talked about, you have to learn, I can't, In other words, I can do nothing apart from Jesus. Before you can learn, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. And so the men were challenged, and a lot of men that I talked to after the conference said they really liked that because it was very simple.
It strikes me, and you'll know more about this tonight, it strikes me that one of the distinctive male characteristics is that sense that I can do it all. It's sort of that aggressive kind of thing. And to hear that I can't do anything without Christ, I could do anything with Christ. So that's a very good way of going at it. Gary, anything more you want to talk about it?
Well, just the thought we were talking about earlier, but you know, Proverbs 27:17 in the scriptures says that just as iron sharpens iron, so too friends sharpen friends, or men sharpen men. And I think that one of the most powerful dynamics that takes place when you have a group of 800, 1,000, 1,200 men together is men coming together, linking arms together, and literally challenging one another to grow in our faith, to deepen our relationship with God. And there is just, there's a great deal, like you say, Rick, of camaraderie and relationship and relating that takes place. But in the context of that, we really are challenged to grow as men.
Has either of you or both of you maybe sensed anything that in maybe more recent times, maybe the last 20, 30, 40 years, that there's a particular need for conferences like this? Has there been a breakdown and any kind of sort of disintegration? I don't want to sound too negative, but what's been going on with Catholic men in general that makes a conference like this perhaps more necessary than ever?
In the past, I came to the church in 1982, so it's almost 28 years now. And when I first came in the church, men weren't involved a lot in many things.
In the life of the church.
In the life of the church. They felt, you know, the women can take care of that. I'll go do my secular job and take care of my family, and we'll leave the church to the priests and then the deacons.
And the women.
Yeah, and the women. And now men are saying, what can we do to help the priests, to help our deacons, to help our families? What can we do to help the church? How can we become involved in the life of the church? And that's what these conferences are about. And in my ministry, where I deal a lot one-on-one with men, we have a lot of issues that we want to talk about. And we won't always talk about them in a small group, but we'll talk about them one-on-one. And that's kind of where I was led in my ministry to do that, to be a sounding board for men, to let them talk about their problems, their faults, their positive aspects, and how do they apply that in their lives. And men want to know, how can I be more Christ-like? Gary?
And Rick, I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, I've seen these conferences really be in men's lives a catalyst for greater involvement in the life of their parishes and in their parish ministries. We've seen that in the local parish that my wife and I and our family attend. Men who attended the conference last year and then subsequent to that are beginning to form men's groups or men's breakfasts or other things, you know, like that. This may sound overly simplistic, but Bishop, you were asking just simply the question of what is it sort of in our lives, in our families, that almost demands a need for a conference like this. And I think one of the things is I see men are extremely busy. And to some degree, men are more stressed. The economy today, men are working more. And so what a luxury to be able to literally have a day that we just come from early in the morning until the evening time just to really focus for an extended period of time upon our faith, upon our relationship with God, upon the teachings of the church. To me, it's just a tremendous luxury.
Let's give that web address one more time. www.rockymountaincatholicmensconference.com. www.rockymountaincatholicmensconference.com. men'sconference.com. More information about the upcoming conference and the opportunity for men throughout the state to register. Another quick break and we will be back.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Lenz and Gary Bayer about the Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference, the second annual Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference, which will be held at the Pikes Peak Center here in downtown Colorado Springs on Saturday, March 20th, and using this as an opportunity to invite any man who may be listening today to join us. And if you're a woman who's listening and you know a man you want to invite and encourage to come, please do so. I'd like to read another a testimony, something that we received from Dave Layden, who's the Grand Knight Pueblo West Knights of Columbus Council 12020. This is part of a little reflection that he sent in last year based on his experience of our first Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference. He wrote, "We learned that men, as husbands and fathers, have an awesome responsibility to imitate Jesus as teachers. We are teachers of those around us. We cannot escape that fact. If we are poor teachers, our students will learn the wrong things. Like it or not, what we do affects the way our marriage goes, the way our children, our grandchildren, our friends, and our neighbors all live their lives, and whether or not they get to heaven. When we realize that we can't do it alone, we discover that with God, we can do anything, including being the example, the evangelizer that the world needs to turn from the things of the world to the things of God." Dave said a lot there. I was taken by his sense of responsibility for all of those in his life, even to the point of saying he has some responsibility as to whether or not they get to heaven. And there's some truth to that. We are our brother's keeper, if you would have put it that way. So, yeah, what a wonderful testimony that is. What we read in the first pages of the book of Genesis that God created us male and female. That's I think everybody remembers that. And there's a complementarity between male and female, which of course right away says there are differences. If we're going to be complementary, that there are differences. Those differences don't diminish either the man or the woman, because there are those, but it's precisely in their complementarity that we see really the full glory of God's creation of the human being. I'm thinking, based on last year and looking forward to this year, that there'll be a certain emphasis on the role of men as husbands and fathers. Obviously, not every man will be married or will ever be married, but many, many, that's certainly the most common vocation that men have is to be married, to be husband and father. You want to talk a little bit about that particular theme and emphasis in the conference?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about the father emphasis. You know, as fathers, we are really called to be mentors of our sons. One of the talks in the afternoon with Bill and Billy Moyer emphasizes that very well, because they're going to talk about what it meant for Billy to have the example of his father and other men that helped him come at an early age come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Bill's the executive director of the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. He has built businesses and sold those businesses. He's been involved in coaching CEOs and business leaders around the world in what really matters. And the question is how to answer that question as opposed to keep asking the question, and shows these men how to run businesses in an ethical and moral nature. And Billy, who's working on his master's degree in communications right now, is involved in SOS leadership, where he helps with his father to train young men and show them the qualities of being a Christian leader. And so that talk of theirs is going to kind of fit right in with the role of being a father, especially to the sons.
Would you agree, or do you think I'm overstating this, that the single greatest influence on a young man, on a boy, for better or for worse, is his father?
I really believe that. They've done studies in Europe and here in the United States that if the father goes to church, attends Mass as a Catholic or as church as a Protestant, 47% of the children will stay in the faith. If only the mother takes them to church, only 25% stay in the faith. And that's not a knock against women. That's just talking about, when it comes to our faith, how important the father is.
Do we say something similar about the effect, the power that mothers have with regard to their daughters?
No, these studies actually applied both to sons and daughters.
Oh.
Staying in the faith.
Oh, both sons and daughters?
Yes.
So it's the father's example that somehow is the most powerful.
That's correct. If the father's out playing golf, fishing, going to football games, and there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, and not attending Mass with the children, they have a greater chance that they'll fall away from the faith.
So we want to try to do our best to impress upon men the tremendous role and responsibility that they have as fathers.
I was really struck by a quote that I heard recently that was made by Sean Dalton. And Sean is likewise with the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, hence another reason why we are yearning and really putting out the call to young men to come and be a part of this
right.
conference as well, attended as well. But Sean said this, and I thought it was just powerful and well worth repeating. A conference like this calls men to greatness. That greatness is heroic servant leadership in imitation of Christ in our marriages, families, parishes, and communities. And what I so loved about that is I really feel that, you know, as men, we set the tone of our households, of our families, of our marriages. And God calls us to loving leadership within the context of the home. Again, not to at all, like you were saying, not, Bishop, to diminish the role of women, but simply to say that we as men need to really respond to the call to be loving leaders and servant leaders within the context of our homes, within the context of our parishes, workplaces, and certainly communities as well. And this conference, as it did last year, will again do that. Just one other note about Sean is that he will be emceeing this conference. And I know that it'll be a real delight because Sean is just so gifted at just moving the conference from one speaker to the next. And likewise also Sean Garrison, another Sean, who is a full-time missionary with the Fellowship of Catholic University Students and has worked in the area of parish youth ministry and music ministry with the Archdiocese of Denver, will be joining us. And he's going to be leading us in worship with his gift for music. You know, we have just an incredible conference planned, and I think it's going to be an exciting day.
We were saying earlier that this conference is also going to emphasize very much the sacraments of the Catholic Church, in particular the Eucharist, the Mass. We're going to end the day with a concelebrated Mass. The three bishops will concelebrate, and any priests who are able to stay, we're counting on many of them coming, but being a Saturday, many of them will have to scoot away in the afternoon because of their afternoon parish confessions and Masses. But we will end the day with Mass, but at the center of it, at the heart of it, if you will be the opportunity to receive the sacrament of penance, which is so very important. We were talking during the break that remembering that this is the year for priests. It's a year in which we honor in a very special way the patron saint of priests, St. John Vianney, known as the Curé of Ars, who was known for his zealous devotion to the sacrament of penance, making that sacrament available sometimes as many as 15, 16, 17 hours a day. It's said that the saint died from exhaustion, and I've often thought if I could go, what a wonderful way for any priest to go from exhaustion, because you're hearing the confessions of the faithful. And we know that in our day, this is a sacrament that's so sadly neglected by many Catholics. That would be another program for us, I guess, to discuss why that is. But the truth is, this is a great gift given by Christ himself, his first gift to the church on the day of his resurrection, when he empowered his apostles to forgive sins. He gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. And that very power of Christ to forgive sins has been passed down through bishops and priests throughout the Christian centuries. And what a shame it would be if any of us set that sacrament aside, because how can we ever expect to grow in holiness if we're always burdened by our sins and the guilt of our sins. So here's this great gift, and we're hoping that many, many priests will come to make it available, make the sacrament available to all of the men who come. So I want to really make a plug for that as I will on that day. Yeah. Yes, Gary. Mm-hmm.
Well, Bishop, I think it also good to remark here also that the sacrament of reconciliation comes right at the mid part of the conference, kind of almost between the two halves. The first, the morning session, really being focused upon the value of life in defense of life, but then the afternoon session, which is going to be led out by Dr. Tim Gray, and he'll be speaking with about First Over the Wall, How to Lead Our Families to Abundant Life in Christ. But that the second half of the conference, and really focusing on our call by the Lord to experience abundant life. And as you were saying, Bishop, if we are burdened by sin and by guilt, how we are really inhibited in our ability to really experience the abundant life that Christ offers us. And so to have that sacrament right there at the mid part of the day, to be able to participate and receive the sacrament of grace, then to move into God's call upon our lives to experience abundant life, abundant living, just an amazing thing.
Just as an aside, a young man that I meet with who's had problems with cocaine, and he's gone through, you know, rehab programs, and he came to me and asked me to start mentoring him, and he said, I want to get back with the church. And so he says, what do I need to do? And I said, well, first you need to go and seek forgiveness for those you've hurt, your girlfriend, your parents, and then you need to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, and then you've experienced that healing. And it took him 3 months to take that step, but the next time he saw me, he comes back in tears. I went to reconciliation today, and I feel truly healed. And that's the power of the sacrament.
The testimony that I've heard, I'm sure every priest has heard, you men have probably heard, the testimony of people, especially who have been away from the sacrament for a long time, that just that sense of liberation, of freedom, of being lifted up, there's no replacing that. And what a great opportunity this will be if we have men coming who, for whatever reason, and there'll be no judgment on that, for whatever reason, may have been away from the sacrament of reconciliation for a long time, maybe even many years. This is a great opportunity to change that, to start over, and make this not only an opportunity for the sacrament, but an opportunity to begin now to regularly receive the sacrament of penance. So, wonderful feature of the men's conference, and I'm sure it will be every year for these men's conferences. We're going to take another break now, come back, and conclude our discussion and our invitation to all men out there listening to participate in the Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference. You can go to www.RockyMountainCatholicMen'sConference.com. I want to make sure. Yes, .com. www.RockyMountainCatholicMen'sConference.com for information or to register for the conference. We'll be back in just a moment.
I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
No, I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with.
You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home, but if you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man, but there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
You're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
This is Bishop Michael Sheridan welcoming you back to our discussion and presentation of the second annual Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference, which will be held on March 20th. That's a Saturday. Pretty well all day. I think we're beginning, what, at about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning?
The doors open at 8. The program starts at 9.
At 9.
And then we finish up with Mass at 5 p.m.
All right. So it'll be a full day. We've been talking both about themes and speakers. We really have it. We really should fill out this our introduction of some of the speakers. We've mentioned some of them, Rick, Gary, together. However you want to do this. Let's hear about the speakers that we haven't heard much about so far.
Why don't you start?
Well, I mentioned
Tim Gray
earlier, Dr. Tim Gray, and perhaps Bishop, you can fill in as well.
Well, I know Tim. I know Tim well. I've heard him speak. And he's at the helm of the Augustine Institute, which is a graduate theology school in Denver. Tim started out with the Catholic Biblical School in Denver, so he's very well versed in Scripture. His understanding and appreciation of Scripture, very engaging speaker. And our deacon candidates here in the diocese have come to know Tim because it's through the Augustine Institute that they're receiving a good deal of their formation. So,
well, our second speaker in the afternoon is Steve Bowman from Houston, Texas. He had a successful career in the energy industry, and he's very aware of the pressures that we men have and that we face trying to balance our professional lives and our family life. And he left that industry to found Paradisus Dei, an organization of lay Catholics dedicated to helping families discover the superabundance of God within the context of marriage and family life. And he's also the founder of That Man Is You. It's a program designed to help men get together with other men and find out more about themselves and about how they can apply themselves into the life of the church. There's several parishes here in the Diocese of Colorado Springs and also in the Archdiocese of Denver that use That Man Is You program.
So it is a parish-based program.
It's a parish-based program.
All right.
And you meet once a week. Everybody likes Saturdays, but some places they meet like on a Thursday evening so they can keep Saturdays free for the family. And he's going to talk about what's it mean to be a man fully alive.
If I could, I think it's worth mentioning that one of the many fruits that a conference like this has is that it gives rise to these ongoing parish-based, smaller gatherings of men, so that it doesn't become just a once a year gathering, but inspires men to continue this.
And the good thing for all the priests to know is, you don't have to be involved in running these programs. There are men in your parish that will take care of them and do that. It's not another thing for a priest to do.
Great.
And we've talked about Bill and Billy Moyer, talking about developing leaders that make a difference. And during that is when Bishop Isern will have his breakout session for our Hispanic brothers. And then Curtis Martin, founder of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Christian University Students. Curtis Martin, a well-known Catholic speaker, part of the team of EWTN's Crossing the Goal that's on Fridays and Sundays. He's going to talk about men of whom the world is not worthy, that we men are made for more. And we need to be told that, to be challenged with that, and be encouraged by that. And he will send us off with that challenge.
I can't say enough good things about him. Have we said something about all of our speakers, I think?
Yes, we have.
I think we have.
We've covered them.
And every one of them really is an excellent speaker and will have a great deal to offer. And I want to make sure, as we draw to an end here, give the men who are listening all of the necessary information, nuts and bolts about this that you might want to give them.
Okay. There is a fee to attend the conference. The speakers don't come for free, and the venue doesn't come for free. And the lunch that we're going to have doesn't come for free.
There is no free lunch. We've heard that one.
Mm-hmm. No free lunch. And so for men 18 and older, the cost is $35 if you register before February 28th and $45 after that. For students, the fee is $25 up until February 28th and then $35 after that date.
So students are under the age of 18?
No. Oh. 18 college students we're talking about. Okay, 18 to 25.
Oh,
whatever.
So as long as they're in school, they'll get the reduced rate.
They get a reduced rate. And then, as we said earlier, sons attending with their fathers or a guardian or brother, uncle, they're free. And clergy attend for free.
You know, you bring up clergy. I it's hard to know at any given time how many priests are listening to this program. But as we have noted among ourselves during breaks here today, priests are men too. And so all that we've said about this distinctive masculine male spirituality, those things that characterize men, apply to us priests also. We could talk about a distinctive spirituality for priests. That's true enough, and even diocesan priests. But this is my own encouragement for as many priests to attend, at least for any part of the day. I know it's sometimes tough for priests to get away for the whole day, but just so that they know that they're welcome for any part of the day that they can make it. But we're especially looking forward to their being here for the sacrament of penance. I remember last year the tremendous number of men. I don't think we counted noses, but a lot of men went to confession. You see, and I can't help but think that sort of even with all the wonderful speakers we had last year too, that had to have made the day for so many of them, I think.
And for our priests. I heard lots of wonderful comments from the priests who were, you know, being there for the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
I heard those comments too, and some of them, you know, I think it's when you do anything for the first time, there are always the skeptics that are going to wonder, well, is anybody going to show up? And if they do show up, what are they going to think of it when it's all over? And I talked to priests who said, I cannot believe that over 800 men came to the very first one of these, sight unseen, no track record. And we have a track record now, and so we're looking forward to at least twice that many this year. Again, let me give the address for those who want to learn more about the conference, but in particular would want to register. www.RockyMountainCatholicMen'sConference.com. Any final words that you have? Yes, Gary.
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking, Bishop, that for those men who participated in last year's conference, this conference provides an opportunity for them to reach out to their friends, other family members, to, you know, sons, to coworkers, to invite them to come and be a part of this conference. And really, this, while it is a distinctly Catholic conference, even for those who are Christian or are of, you know, other denominations, this is a tremendous opportunity to come and just to be challenged in our Christian faith. And really, what does it mean to grow in a relationship with Christ, to be seeking to be growing in our understanding of our faith, in a commitment to the church and to its mission, to its work? And likewise, what does it mean to be, as I mentioned earlier, loving servant leaders, you know, in our households, in our families, as husbands, as fathers? I think we also just, we want to be inviting men and really challenging those men who attended last year to be inviting their friends, co-workers, and other men to come and participate with them. And what a great opportunity, as we said, to just really be together as men, to be sharpening one another in our call to be living out our Christian faith.
I'm thinking that even as these conferences give rise to smaller groupings of men in their parishes, probably a good number of just individual friendships were formed by men meeting one another and keeping up with one another and continue to be friends and spiritual supports to one another. So all sorts of tremendous results from a conference like this. Rick, any final thoughts from you?
Just that I really do encourage the men to attend. I know that men from my parish that attended started coming to our monthly men's breakfast ministry and have taken part in some programs that have deepened their faith walk, and they're just becoming very involved in the life of the parish. And these are men we call the 80 percenters. Some of these were the 80 percenters that weren't involved before.
Great. So I want to thank you both for being here, and especially to thank you for all the work that you put into planning this conference. We're going to be praying that it's everything that I know it will be in the hearts and minds of the men who attend.
Well, Bishop, thank you very much. It's been an honor to be here, and we look forward to helping with other conferences in the future.
Wonderful.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure.
And I want to once again add my own invitation to all the men listening to participate in the Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference March 20th at the Pikes Peak Center, downtown Colorado Springs. And let's conclude by asking God to bless us and to bless this conference. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessing, your grace, to draw many of your sons to come together to the Rocky Mountain Catholic Men's Conference, to come to know you, your son, your spirit more intimately, more profoundly, to be able to leave that conference being stronger men, whether as fathers or as single men, fathers to be men who can be strong in their own faith and strong in passing on that faith to others. We look forward to many, many graces from this conference, Father, and we are grateful for all the gifts that you have given us. And may Almighty God bless all of you, our listeners, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks Amen. For being with us. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.